بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders and dear brothers and our sisters and all who are listening on the audio streaming there are some wonderful advices and nasihat in this beautiful ashar and poetry of Arif Billah Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed these Allahwalas, these friends of his, with beautiful speech, beautiful advices, beautiful poetry, beautiful bayans and lectures. Very, very impactful on the heart. Hazrat explains about these were true Ashik Rasul, they were the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were Ashik Ilahi and Ashik Rasul, the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the true lovers of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this poetry, Hazrat says, Kya asar tha risalat ki shame? What an effect Allah had kept in the prophethood of Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajeeb effect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the prophethood of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That his prophethood brought about a change that the whole face of the earth has changed after his prophethood. That world that was steeped in darkness, that world that was steeped in ignorance, that world, the whole picture of the world changed. And yes, there are some areas of the world where there is darkness of kufr and shirk and jahalat and ignorance, but there are many areas of light and illumination. And this was all because of the effect of the prophethood and risalat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, insha'Allah, a time is coming soon. Allah knows best when the time will be, when Islam will once more reign supreme on the surface of the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause this deen to enter every home. Either they will accept willingly with honor and respect, or they will accept it grudgingly and with disgrace, but the deen of Allah is going to enter every home, and the kalima is going to enter every home. So, this was the effect of the risalat and the prophethood of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the whole naqsha and the whole face and surface of the earth changed after his coming. And what happened? The status of man was equalized and leveled. Abdo sulta khare ek saf mein kya asar tha risalat ki shaam mein. The slave and the master were standing in one line. There was no distinction between them. When it came to submitting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nobody is a master and nobody is a slave. In fact, all are the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the poet said, Ek hi saf mein khada hai Mahmood aur Ayaz, na koi banda hai, na koi banda nawaz. In one saf, Mahmood the king is standing, Mahmood Ghaznavi, the very mighty, powerful king of India, the one who conquered almost the whole of India and all the countries around Mahmud Ghaznavi, the mighty conqueror. And in the same saf, Mahmud is standing and his servant Ayaz is also standing together. In front of Allah, there's no Mahmud and there's no Ayaz, there's no master and there's no slave. All are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means Islam has come to equalize the status of men. As men, all are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, on the basis of piety and righteousness, yes, certain men will have superiority over others.
But that is in the matter of piety and knowledge and righteousness, not in any other basis, not on the basis of color, not on the basis of language, not on the basis of culture, not on the basis of financial standing, not on the basis of social standing, not on the basis of any other grounds. The only basis of superiority in the eyes of Allah is piety. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa. O mankind, we have created you from a single man and single woman. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we made you into various tribes and nations and tribes. Why? لِتَعَارَفُوا. So that you may recognize each other. Why, if everybody had to be in China, I heard about this from someone, that there were only about 20 surnames at one time. So they got a population of 1 billion people. Now if you divide 1 billion people, 20 surnames between 1 billion people, then how many people per surname? Somebody can do the sums for us quickly. Ji? 50 million. Right? 50 million people per surname on average. Can you imagine? So what directory are you going to look into? You just see 50 million names, all the same surname. Well, how are you going to recognize who is who there? Like they say, how you know who's who in the zoo? You won't know who is who. So they decided, the government then made it some kind of legislation that you have to have some other distinguishing surname with that, because then otherwise it was very difficult to distinguish. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, had to make everyone on earth like the Chinese, for example, everyone look like Chinese and the same features and complexion, you can imagine now how difficult it would have been. 8 billion people on the earth, all looking almost the same feature wise and all of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make mankind into one type and one kind. I gave this example many times before, I am repeating it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make us like VW Beetles. They made 50 million of one kind. All look absolutely on the same on the assembly line. Every VW is absolutely the same like the next one. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make human beings like VW Beetles. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made every human being absolutely unique. No two brothers, no twins. No identical twins are identical. They are most distinct and different, despite being called identical. Right? Because everything about them is different, from their DNA, to their molecular structure, to their physical structure, to their iris and pupils of their eyes, and to their fingerprints, and to everything is complete, hair, everything is completely different. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made لِتَعَارَفُ these tribes and nations so people can recognize each other. We can make a distinct, but these were not for the purpose of superiority, that this tribe is better than that tribe, this nation is better than that nation. No. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. In the eyes of Allah, the best of you are those who are the most pious and the most righteous. Other than that, nobody has got the right to claim superiority over another. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى كلكم من آدم وآدم من تراب. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one narration that there is no superiority of the Arab over the non-Arab, and the non-Arab over the Arab, and the black over the white, and the white over the black, illa bit taqwa. Except the one who has got piety and taqwa, then that is the basis of superiority in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And kullukum min Adam, all of you have come from one father, Adam, wa Adamu min Turab. Adam was from the earth. So therefore, the nature of earth is to be humble. The nature of the earth is to be lowly. So therefore, if you are an Adam, from Adam you are an Adami. You know they say Admi. What is Admi? Admi means is a person from Adam alayhi salam. He is associated to Adam alayhi salam. Then you will say, you know, a person comes from Hind. Hind means India. What is he? He's a Hindi. Comes from Hind. So he's associated to Hind. Person is comes from Pakistan, is a Pakistani. We add a ya at the end. You say, right, that is ya in Nisbat. He's associated to that place. That person is Arabi. That means he's from the Arabs. He's associated to the Arabs. Certain person is a Habashi. That is, he's associated with Habsha. Habsha are the people of Africa. So like this, right? A person is Adami. That means he's associated to Adam alayhi salam. And Adamu min Turab. Adam alayhi salam was from the earth. So therefore the humility was found in Adam alayhi salam. So as if you said Adami, then Adami will have the quality of Adam alayhi salam. And the quality of Adam alayhi salam was humility. So Adam alayhi salam was a humble person of humility. Right? So therefore, here this poetry is saying that Ab do Sultan khade hai ek saf mein. The king and the rulers all stand in one line in salah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no distinction between the king and the servants and the king and the citizens when it comes to standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The king also has to stand in the same line and the same saf as the citizens. There's no separate line for the kings that, okay, this line is reserved for them and the ordinary people will stand somewhere else. No. All in front of Allah, all are in one jamaat, all stand together in one line. Farq kaale o gore ka tune kis tarah se mitaya jahan mein. Addressing Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadrat says here that how you went and you extinguished the difference between black and white. Completely you extinguished the difference between black and white. That is, you left no room for racism. You left no room for racial discrimination on the basis of color, that white people are better, black people are lesser. No, there's no such a thing. In the eyes of Islam, black and white are all equal. Except, of course, the one of taqwa, he can be black or he can be white, he's high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrated to the world. That Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the muazzin of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Habasha, Bilal Habshi, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Ethiopia, Abyssinia. He was a Habashi. But he was amongst the first few to accept Islam. And his Islam was so solid and was so firm and strong that no amount of torture could make him renounce his Islam. If there was ever an example of steadfastness and resoluteness and firmness on Iman, then the example can be given of Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nobody could surpass him as far as steadfastness in the face of hardship. With that, we know famously his words was, Ahadun, Ahadun, Ahadun. There's only one Allah, there's only one Allah, there's only one Allah. When he was being tormented and tortured brutally in the desert of Arabia, dragged on the hot burning sands with boulders, hot boulders placed on his Mubarak body and going through all the torture and torment in the face of all of that, what was the one word on his tongue? Ahadun, 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 the one Allah, one Allah, one Allah. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was elevated to the status of the muazzin of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. He was the muazzin and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the imam. We know the relationship between muazzin and imam. And Allah ta'ala gave him the honor of calling the azan in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. At the time of Fath Makkah, he called out the azan in Makkah at Masjid al-Haram on top of Baytullah. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala stood there and called out the azan. And at the time of the conquest of Masjid al-Aqsa, Baytul Muqaddas, Jerusalem, then also Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given the honor to call out the first azan in Masjid al-Aqsa. So the three harams in Islam, the three centers of our deen, this is the person who was the muazzin of all of these three centers, selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that he wasn't an Arab too, and he did not have the ways and complexion of the Arabs. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make any distinction to say, okay, he had plenty of companions from among the Arabs and his own family, but Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not choose anyone of them over Bilal. He chose Bilal for the singular honor of being the muazzin of his masjid, the muazzin of Baytullah, the muazzin of Baytul Muqaddas. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed him to call out the azan in Baytul Muqaddas when they conquered Baytul Muqaddas and the Muslims entered victoriously. And they called out the takbir from one mountain that overlooked the haram. Till today that mountain is called Jabal Mukabbir. Jabal Mukabbir, the mountain of the takbir callers. Because when Sahaba reached there and they could see Jerusalem, Baytul Muqaddas in front of them and Masjid al-Aqsa in their vision, then out of joy, excitement and happiness, they began to proclaim the azan, the takbir. And all of them were reading loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So that mountain till today is known as Jabal Mukabbir. If you go to visit Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah take us all with safety and protection and afiyat. Then if you're standing at Jabal Mukabbir, Allahu Akbar, right in front of you, you can see the whole beautiful vision of Masjid al-Aqsa in front of you. As if Jabal Mukabbir is to the south of the Haram and you're facing north, and the Haram is facing, obviously, the Qibla is south of Masjid al-Aqsa. So you're picturing in front of you the whole beautiful dome of the rock and Masjid al-Qibli and Musalla Marwani and Tubbatu Sakhra and the whole Haram, the complete the view, vision of the whole Haram in front of a person in the city of Jerusalem. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to demolish all the vestiges of racism and equalized humanity and mankind. We see the salah is the equalizer. We come to the masjid, you can be a so-called lani, very wealthy, you can be a so-called VIP, you can be a CEO, you can be a director, you can be an MD, you can be a DM, damaging manager, or a managing damager, whichever way you want to say it. Right? You can have any fancy title behind your name, PhD, MA, whatever, but in the masjid, all are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no special place kept for VIPs, and there's a VIP section, or there's economy class in the masjid, and you know, business class, and then first class, nothing. In the masjid, all salah is the equalizer. Allah ta'ala equalizes man 5 times a day. Qabristan is an equalizer. There's no special qabr. We didn't see that according to your financial standing and the amount of properties you own in your property portfolio, accordingly is the size of your qabr. The size of the qabr is the same. No matter who you are, how wealthy you are, how poor you are, you get the same size of plot. There's no double plots and, you know, extra size plots. Everyone has just one size plot. So that is the equalizer. Kafan also, everyone wears the same cloth, same type of kafan. There's no distinction between rich and poor. There's no desire. Allah save us from that day when we have designer kafan. people commercialize everything in the name of Islam today. Everything is getting commercialized in the name of Islam. Islamic this and Islamic that and Islamic that. They just apply the title and label of Islam to anything to make it Islamic. Just putting a label of Islam doesn't make anything just automatically Islamic. It must match the reality of the label, then it can be called Islamic. Rather we say Muslim something, it's better than saying Islamic. Because we say Islamic, we're making a claim. The claim is that this is Islamic, it's in accordance with Islam. But if you say Muslim, then we say, okay, it is associated to Muslims. So Muslims practice Islam as best as they can. There may be some shortfall, deficiency in practice of Islam. Islam, there's no deficiency. In Muslims, there can be deficiency. There can be a shortfall. So therefore, we rather say, don't say Islamic countries. Because I don't think anybody can, there can be any Islamic country in the true sense of the word in today's world. We rather say Muslim countries. There are countries that have Muslims there. And majority are Muslims, so they will try to practice some aspects of Islam. When we say Islamic country, it means we're making a very bold claim that all the laws of that country and everything in the country is being run and governed by the principles of Islam. So it may just be a very subtle thing, but we should be careful even about making such claims. But nevertheless, my dear friends, as I was saying earlier on, that Islam has come with his beautiful teachings. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought through his risalat and prophethood such beautiful teachings to the world that if we practice even some percentage of that, the world will be a much happier place, the world will be a much better place, the world will be a much peaceful place, the world will be a much more just place. But if we don't practice on the teachings of Islam and our lives go upside down, then there is nobody else to blame but ourselves, because we are the architects of our own destiny and of our own our doings and outcomes. So therefore, we should try to comply. We should try to comply with all the teachings of Deenul Islam to the best of our ability. And this was the beautiful poetry. There's not time to go into all the details of it. Just a reminder also, my dear brothers, this evening we saw the moon, mashallah, of Jumad Thaniya, the second month of Jumad. Jumad al-Ula is over, Jumad al-Thaniya has started. That means technically we are 90 days away from the month of Ramadan, 3 months away. Then next month is going to be Rajab, and the next thing is going to be Shaban and Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala make us reach that month of Ramadan with khair and afiyat and witness the barakat and blessing again of the best month in the calendar. And if we really want to take the full benefit of Ramadan, then truly speaking, the fikr and tayari and preparation should start off in earnest from now already. Especially when Rajab comes, then 1 year. So we are right there, coming close to the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We should keep that in front of us. And my dear friends, in this country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many blessings. We should make shukr to Allah for His favors. But at the same time, we should not become ghafil about our reality and the reality of things in the country also. We are facing many challenges. One challenge is the challenge of droughts, water shortages. We already talk of, you know, water restrictions. What they said before, they used to use the word for load shedding. Now they talk about water shedding. Water shedding. Now imagine this great ni'mat of Allah that we take so much for granted. How much of it is wasted. Without the care in the world, we just open the taps and the water runs. So now we have been taught now the value of water. We should learn to appreciate water, and we should not let up in making istighfar and tawbah for that rains to come and Allah's blessings to descend, because now we're entering the dry season again. the whole winter is dry, by then the levels of the water drop much more. So we should be engaging in plenty of istighfar and make a lot of tawbah, seek Allah's forgiveness for our sins that is causing the water shortages. And there are other challenges that we are facing. We are facing many challenges locally, nationally, internationally. Muslims are going through difficult times all over the world. We should not become negligent with regard to these things. We shouldn't be heedless. We should be conscious, we should be aware, and we should be concerned. We should not be totally indifferent to these things. But لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who does not care about the affairs of the Muslims, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, is not from us. So we should have concern locally, nationally, globally. And don't just sit back and say, well, this is the situation, so now we have to just face it. But we can do, there are little things that we can do. They say, think globally, but act locally. We must act locally. We must act, not just think globally and think locally. That's the thing today. We think too much. One is we don't think at all about the condition of the ummah. That is really, we are gone. Then there are people who think a lot about the condition of the ummah, but they do nothing about it. So that is what they refer to as the paralysis of the analysis. A person gets making so much of analyzing that he gets paralyzed in the analyzing. So it's the paralysis of the analysis. Analyzing too much, you get paralyzed, you don't do anything. You just say, oh, this problem, that problem, that problem, we can't do anything. No, that is wrong. We should think globally, but act locally. Local, within our own communities. Alhamdulillah, there are many avenues of doing good. MashaAllah, brothers are going out to do volunteer work, giving out water in areas where there isn't water. How those people appreciate? And it's an open invitation to Deenul Islam at the same time. Because they see the Muslims as people who are not selfish and only concerned about their own self, but they are coming out and reaching out. Other things we can do. Winter is coming, give out blankets, run some feeding schemes. Do whatever we can to assist the poor and the needy and the downtrodden around us. And most important of all, we should be willing to share this beautiful deen Allah has given us. We were deprived, our forefathers came from kufr and shirk. Allah blessed us with Islam. Now we shouldn't sit back with this wealth of Islam, but we should be generous to share this wealth of Islam with the people around us, especially in this country, which is ripe for da'wat and the deen of Allah to spread. But remember, my dear friends, the deen of Allah doesn't spread by words as much as it spreads by action. By Padiya Rahmatullah Ali from this very area of Spingo. How many beautiful advices he used to give, and one of the advices I heard him say umpteen times in the Ijtimas. Said the people are tired of reading about Islam, listening about Islam, talking about Islam. They want to see Islam. They want to see the real Islam in the lives of the people. Otherwise we can give out booklets and pamphlets by the millions. But just giving out booklets and pamphlets and CDs and DVDs and flash drives and whatever other media there are today, that is not going to change the hearts of people. What is going to change the hearts of the people is the amal and the akhlaq of the Muslims. Then the lives of people will change. And for the akhlaq and amal of the people to change, my dear friends, we have to make an effort amongst the Muslims as well. A lot of people say, no, you must give invitation, invite the non-Muslims to Islam. You don't have to go to the Muslims. Why, if the Muslim is not a Muslim in anything but name, what attraction is he to Islam? In fact, he's chasing people away from Islam, so first we have to make an effort on the Muslims. Then inshallah, when we make sufficient effort on the Muslims, then it will be easy to make effort on the non-Muslims. And one of the most easiest and effective way to make an effort on our Muslim people, our Muslim community, is for people to go and spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even a short period of time, go see how it is practically to live all the teachings of Islam 24 hours from the morning till the night, one sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, inshallah, there is the ijtima that will be coming, KZN ijtima in Ladysmith, inshallah, on the 19th, 20th and 21st of March. So all should make an effort to attend the ijtima, even if it is for a short duration, ideally to stay for the whole ijtima, but for a short duration to spend some time in that environment, where thousands of people gather now, thousands get together with one common concern and common goal and objectives. Allah Ta'ala special mercies and rahmat descends on those type of gatherings. All make intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all, give us tawfiq to make amal.